I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
It's time for this week's edition of NFL Division Whip Around. Every Sunday night leading up to the start of the season, Ken goes team by team, division by division, to see which teams will be the top contenders to hoist the Lombardi Trophy, the Washington Redskins.
And we start off in the NFC East with a team that's been making all sorts of headlines this week, and I guess not for bad reasons. They still have a good quarterback. They still have a shot at the playoffs. We start with the Washington Redskins, and to speak about them, Mike Jones, Redskins writer for the Washington Post, at Mike Jones WAPO. Mike, thanks for joining us. And first off, is Kirk Cousins at DEFCON 1 where even if they have a good season and he plays well, he's still not going to be a Redskin in 2018?
Well, you can never say never. The Redskins do still have some options. They could transition tag him and match whatever somebody else gives him, the other right of first refusal. They could use the franchise tag on him a third time, which would mean paying him a lot more money. He's making $24 million this year. It would be about $34 million next year. So we will see. He's not completely out of the clear after this season. You would hope maybe they go out there, they have some success, and for all parties involved, they get something hammered out, because otherwise they're hitting the reset button. But so far, it looks kind of bleak. But for right now, they try to turn the page. Now the negotiations are done. The deadline passed out a long-term deal. And they'll try to focus on getting back on track, having another winning season, a third straight winning season, which would be pretty rare for them.
Did they ever get close to trading him during any of these times where he was rumored to be on the market?
Not from anything I can gather. They wanted to keep him. They were determined that if they were going to part with him, it was going to be for a lot. When they put the franchise tag on him, they used the exclusive because they didn't want anybody negotiating with him. And then even, if you were able to reach an agreement with him, you would have had to give the Redskins two first-round picks. But they didn't even want to get to that type of situation, so they made it exclusive instead of the non-exclusive. So nobody really was calling to them asking, what their asking price was. I think they made it clear that they were going to expect a lot back, and so nothing really got serious for them, and so he's still here.
Mike Jones joining us from the Washington Post. He covers the Redskins for the Washington Post. Is Jay Gruden an underrated coach? Because he's had to basically put out fires every single year since he's got there, and they've been able to keep their head above water.
Yeah, you're exactly right. I think that it probably does get overlooked, the work that he does. I mean, to bring him out of the RG3 era, so to speak, to weather the storm there, go to Kirk Cousins, all kinds of different drama here and there, different dysfunctional, episodes. And he's had these guys able to stay the course, focus on the field, not let any of the noise distract them. So I think that they were right in giving Jay Gruden an extension this past offseason.
What side do the fans take when it comes to Kirk Cousins and the Redskins?
The bulk of the fans were upset and wanted to see the Redskins just pay him, get it taken care of. They know. They've been looking for a quarterback ever since Mark Rippon left a couple years after winning the Super Bowl in 91. They have not had anybody who's been able to put together any sustained success. And so because of that, the fans understand. They were like, look, we've been looking all this time. This is what quarterbacks cost. It's a lot of money, but you need him. Let's get it taken care of. There is probably about maybe about 25% of the fan base who says, oh, that's too much for a quarterback. He hasn't won a playoff game. Stop being greedy. Take whatever the team gives you. But for the bulk of it is, they wanted the Redskins to just go ahead and pay him what it took to keep him. But all of them agree that they're really frustrated that they're going to go into the offseason next year with this looming over their head once again.
Mike Jones, The Washington Post. Mike, thank you for the time, buddy. All the best.
All right, thanks for having me.
The Philadelphia Eagles.
On to Philadelphia we go. A big season last year, at least a big step forward with what people would believe about Carson Wentz. But the season didn't end the way he wanted it to. Was it a growing pain, or is this something that needs to be addressed? Well, to talk about it, we welcome in Dave Zangaro, Eagles insider for CSN Philly. Dave, thanks for joining us. And first off, where is Carson Wentz expected to be in 2017? Is this a guy who takes flight, or are there concerns within the fan base?
Well, I mean, I think there are legitimate concerns about the way he finished his year. A lot of it was mechanical. But with that said, the expectation is for him to get better in year two, and that they want to see incremental growth. It's not about him becoming, you know, a top-flight quarterback next year. It's about seeing that incremental growth. And they don't want to see him have those ups and downs that he had as a rookie. That was the big issue. If he's consistent and consistently getting better, they'd feel a lot better than if he's having the highs and the lows that he did as a rookie.
It's amazing that Philadelphia, to me, is a tough city. They want their Eagles to do well, obviously. It's been a long time since they've won a championship, obviously. But they're very patient with Carson Wentz. Are you surprised by that?
No, because honestly, he's their best shot at getting that championship. I mean, they put a lot into getting the quarterback. They packaged a lot to move up to the second pick in the draft, and they've kind of sold him as the guy to the fan base. They've sold him as, you know, this is the future, so you're going to have to deal with this guy for the next 10, 15 years. And I think the fans are behind it. Now, obviously, if he comes out and stinks up the place in year two, I don't think the fans will be as forgiving, obviously. But for now, everyone's really kind of behind him. And I think that it was because we saw those flashes in his first season. We saw those flashes of what could potentially be a great quarterback. And I think that, you know, for a fan base that had that in a really long time with Donovan McNabb, and they haven't had it since then, that's really pretty intriguing for a lot of fans.
Dave Zangaro joining us on the show. Howie Roseman back in the saddle again with the Philadelphia Eagles. Things seem to be stable within the organization after a lot of tumult with Chip Kelly. Are things stable again?
Yeah, they are. I mean, he's the guy in charge, and they've stabilized it even further by adding Joe Douglas, who's the head personnel guy. And so far, so good between the two of those two guys in the front office. And that's a big key for the franchise, because Howie Roseman hasn't worked well with a lot of other front office people. So if him and Joe Douglas can make this work, I mean, that's stability for a long time. And that's what they need. They need Howie to kind of play nice, because he hasn't done that before. And I think it's a good marriage of those two, because Howie has the front office experience where he goes and makes the trades. But Joe Douglas's forte is really the draft, and that's where Howie struggles. So they seem to have, they seem to really complement each other, and that's really important for the future of the franchise.
Dave Zangaro joining us on the show. Final one, what do you think? Do they have a shot to go up and snatch this division? Because it seems to be cyclical, or are the Cowboys still the class?
I mean, I guess they have a chance. I wouldn't say it's a good chance. I mean, I think the Cowboys are still the best team in the division, and until someone proves otherwise. But look, they have a really talented team, and I don't think the Eagles are not thinking they do. But, you know, it's going to be a good race in this division. There's some good teams, and I think that right after the Cowboys, the Giants, Eagles, and Washington, they're all about the same. And, you know, if one of them gets hot, yeah, sure, maybe they catch the Cowboys sleeping and they win the division. But I don't think that's what it's about right now for the Eagles. I think it's about incremental growth and watching the franchise quarterback take that next step.
More wins would be nice in 2017, but they are looking ahead to bigger and better things. Dave Zangaro on the show. Dave, thank you for the time, buddy.
No problem.
The Dallas Cowboys.
Cowboys, the class of the division in the NFC East in 2016, but as always in Big D, there's all sorts of stuff going on off the field. So to talk about that, we welcome in Mike Fisher, Cowboys insider, 105.3 The Fan in Dallas. Mike, is Zeke Elliott being that much of a distraction to this football team?
I don't think it serves as a distraction. I think that's the wrong word, because the Cowboys as an organization knew when they drafted him exactly what they were getting into. And in a lot of cases in the locker room, he has the support of his guys, because they think it's all kind of funny, and he's kind of a big, lovable goofball, and he's very much a part of the heartbeat of this team's personality. So distraction is the wrong word. Now, if King Goodell decides you're suspended for one or two or three or whatever games, that counted as distraction, or much, much worse.
Mike Fisher joining us on the show. Okay, I've heard about these 1-2 game suspensions, 1-3 game suspensions. Do you know anything that he could get suspended and that there's a good chance? Because I know Adam Schefter's really, really good at his job, but the first thing I start thinking is, okay, I don't mean to down him, but we did this whole thing about Dez Bryant in some tape a couple of years ago, and no tape ever surfaced. So what's the truth here with the NFL?
The conversation that the commissioner was going to have with Ezekiel Elliott, and still will, but now it's a slightly different conversation, maybe a more heated conversation. Mm-hmm. What we were told last Thursday was going to be about an accumulation of behaviors. Put quote marks around that. That Commissioner Goodell was going to have Zeke come to Manhattan, and they were going to all sit down and say, accumulation of behaviors is the problem. And that doesn't mean you're guilty of domestic violence. It doesn't mean you're guilty of substance abuse. It means we're concerned about the accumulation of behaviors. And as we know, if we followed the cases of Ben Roethlisberger or Greg Hardy or Tom Brady, the commissioner's office has a great deal of elbow room here.
Yeah.
It can do what it wants. In the case of Elliott, they were planning not to hit him on the head with a big hammer here. They were planning on having a conversation with him and really letting him defend himself, which is highly unusual. And evidence, by the way, that the Cowboys are not hated by the league. The NFL is not anti-Cowboy. If they were anti-Cowboy or anti-Zeke, they'd suspend him for 600 games because they have the latitude to do that. Instead, there needs to be a conversation. And when Zeke talks to the commissioner about what happened Sunday night, he would be wise to tell the truth. Because in the cases that we know where a player goes before this commissioner and is discovered to have fibbed, this commissioner comes down very hard on that player.
No sophomore slump for Dak. He's the real deal, you're telling me.
It just doesn't add up. Now, I'm not talking about his touchdown to interception ratio.
Of course.
I'm asking for a repeat of that. That's almost statistically impossible. But Dak goes to work. You know, Dak and Zeke, as you probably know, they're best friends on this team. The difference between the two of them isn't that they both don't go out. As I've joked, Zeke, I call him the mayor of McKinney Avenue. He runs that part of town. He's the mayor. Well, his best buddy is Dak Prescott. He must be the mayor pro tem. But Dak knows how to sneak out the back door just in time, whereas Zeke goes to the front door and opens it with his shirt off. Yeah, there's just no evidence that Dak Prescott, with that work ethic and that talent. And by the way, Wade Wilson and the coaching staff telling me a couple days ago, we're handing him way more responsibility. He can be changing plays at line of scrimmage now. We can do some read option now. We're going to give Dak a bigger piece of the offensive pie in terms of decision making. And I think that establishes that for Prescott, the arrow is very much up.
Mike Fisher, 105.3 The Fan in Dallas. Great stuff, Mike. Thanks for the time.
Thank you, and we'll see you in Oxnard in a couple days, and we'll see you on Twitter at Fish Sports.
The New York Giants.
We finish things up in the NFC East and in New York. Paul Dottino joins us, Giants beat writer, beat reporter, WFAN New York, at Giants WFAN. Paul, all right, what's the outlook of the Giants? They got back to their winning ways last year with Ben McAdoo. How are they going to do it?
Well, you know, you look at this team and you say to yourself, they've got virtually the entire defensive core back. Only two guys who are in the regular or starting lineup or rotation lineup, if you will, are not back. And so that bodes very well. You know, Jonathan Hankins went to the Colts and Kelvin Shepard, the linebacker, a free agent who was still unsigned. But other than that, this defense is intact. And in fact, it may even be better when you consider that Eli Apple will be better in his second season. B.J. Goodson's going to be the new middle linebacker, and they really have a lot of high thoughts about him in his first year as a starter. They drafted Dalvin Tomlinson in the second round from Alabama to replace Hankins. And Darian Thompson, who was supposed to be a rookie out of Boise State last year, you know, played only a couple of games, went to injured reserve, and was basically a washout, but they have very, very high hopes for him. So if you can believe it, this top three defense in the NFL, by any stretch of the imagination, should be better this year. So that's where you have to start with this team. And then, of course, on the other side, you got Eli Manning back. You know what Beckham is. You know what Brandon Marshall is coming over from the Jets. They've got some reinforcements for depth on the offensive line. And then the big pick in the first round, Evan Engram out of Ole Miss, the tight end who, you know, a lot of people seem to compare him to Jordan Reed of the Raiders. Redskins. I think he's going to be more of a JerMichael Finley type from the old Green Bay Packers days, because let's face it, Finley was a favorite when Ben McAdoo was an assistant in Green Bay.
They going back to the playoffs?
I would think so, especially since the Giants have Dallas's number. They showed that last year. The matchup just favors them, much like a great prize fight. They've got the edge on the Cowboys, and so you have to believe they have the inside track on the division.
How much longer do you think Eli has?
He's got at least 2 years.
Okay.
If he has any longer than that, it's going to depend on his performance and his health. The way his contract is constructed, the Giants are going to have to make a decision after the 2018 season, because it would be very economically beneficial for them to part with Eli after the 2018 year. But, you know, should he be playing at a high level still? Well, then obviously the $20-plus million that he would make in 2019 would be considered franchise quarterback money, and they'd want to keep him. But if he's hurt or if he's not playing at that level, it's hard to imagine they would pay him in excess of $23 million in 2019. He'd either probably have to redo his deal, or he probably wouldn't be here. As much as I can't see the Giants organization ever parting with him, perhaps something might happen. But I don't think there'll be any concrete decision on Eli's future till after the 2018 season, simply based on the numbers in his contract.
ODB's contract, is that going to get done, or is this all a lot of hot air?
Oh, I believe that the Giants and Odell Beckham have a pretty good handle on what they'd like to do after this season with 1 year left on his deal in 2018. I believe that sometime during this coming off season, they will sit down with him and they will try to work something out. And I think he probably would be amenable to that. I think all the media hype about him holding out this year and being upset with his contract was a bunch of popcorn and pretzels. Not much substance to those stories at all. Never believed them for a second, and don't believe them now.
Paul, we thank you for the time, buddy. All the best.
Great to talk to you.
That was the NFL Division Whip Around, only on CBS Sports Radio.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.